Hallelujah. Thank God. Thank God that we can come into His presence. We don't have to go through intermediaries. We don't have to bring bulls or lambs or pigeons or animal sacrifices, but we can come directly to the throne of grace because of the blood of Jesus. Because his body was broken and shed, his blood was shed for us, we have access. Everyone say, I have access to the very presence of God. Thank you, Lord. Lord, bless this word to our hearts. Anoint these lips, Lord, my heart for your honor and your glory. And may every ear, put your hand on your ear for a second, Lord. Every ear, every heart, be open to receive and to act upon the word, Lord. As the bulletin, the scripture in the bulletin says, Lord, we want to be hearers and doers. Hearers and doers in Jesus' name. Amen. What the world needs is Jesus. How many of you believe that? What this world needs is Jesus. And I would believe that it's not an exaggeration to say now more than ever. Now more than ever, what the world needs is Jesus. Turn with me to John chapter 1. We're going to look at a couple of scriptures there. Excuse me. John chapter 1, verse 14, and then verse 18. John, the gospel writer, declares these words, "So the Word, that is Jesus, became flesh." He became human, flesh and blood, "and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son." The revelation of Jesus Christ. Whoever has seen him, the next verse says, "No one has ever seen God," verse 18, "but the one and only Son, who himself is God." Everybody say, He is God. He is God. "And is in close relationship with the Father, has made him known." No person has ever seen God face to face. The Bible says that we cannot see his face and live. It's just so holy, so powerful, so radiant, so awesome that we would just be vaporized in the presence of God. But God took care of that situation by sending Jesus in the form of a human being so we could see what God was like. Jesus is the revelation of the true nature of God. When we look at Jesus, we learn about what God is like. And now we who know Jesus and have him living in our hearts, just as Jesus, when he walked the earth, revealed the Father to his disciples, now you and I have the privilege of revealing Jesus to a watching and waiting and dark world. I want to say that again. Jesus came to reveal what God was like. Jesus, after 3 or 3.5 years, was crucified, buried, and raised from the dead. After 40 days that he spent with his disciples, he was ascended to the Father. He said, "I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit comes, he will teach you all things." He also said, "Now you are the light of the world." While I am in the world, he said, "I am a light. But now that I'm leaving and going back to the Father, you are the light of the world." When he was here, he revealed the Father. Now it's up to us to reveal the Father. Now it's our job. Are you with me this morning? That's why we're having an outreach on February 2nd. We're going to walk around this community. We're going to pray. You might say, what does that really amount to? It means a lot. It means a lot because there are heavenly realities that are greater than earthly realities. When you pray, heaven takes notice. And when we declare, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven," it makes a difference on earth. Our prayers on Wednesday night may not seem like very fancy, maybe not very eloquent. We had one dear sister this past week when we were praying. She cried, and won't mention her name, but she cried and said, "I can't be eloquent in my prayers, and I feel bad because I don't recite all the scriptures." And we all assured her, it's what comes from your heart that really matters. It's not how eloquent your prayers are, how many scriptures you memorize. It's good to memorize scriptures. Yes, it is. But God's not looking for theologians. He's looking for sons and daughters who love him and want to follow him with all of their heart. God didn't come, as I said last week, he didn't come to start a religion. He came to bring the kingdom of heaven to earth. And Jesus did all that he could to reveal the Father's glory. He made the Father known to a waiting world. And now our lives are living testimonies. Everybody say, we are living testimonies. We are living sacrifices of the reality of God. And the question is this morning, do they see God in us? Does the world around us, wherever we go, do they see his beauty? Do they see his love? And do they see his nature in us? How are you affecting the world? How am I affecting the world around me? It's interesting that the term Christian was first used to describe people. It was actually a derogatory term to describe people who the pagan world thought were like little Christs. Oh, these people, there's something wrong with them. They're crazy. They're like little Christs. They're Christians. Aren't you glad that they what they bore in a derogatory way was actually a badge of honor? Amen. Somebody get excited this morning. We can be called little Christs. We reflect a little bit of Jesus in this world. That's not an insult to me. That's a compliment. Hallelujah. I'm glad if somebody says, he's a real Christian. That's the highest compliment you can pay. John the Apostle taught that he and the other disciples saw the glory of God in Christ. They saw the glory of the one and only begotten of the Father. They saw the love of God. They saw the power of God. They saw the authority in his miracles, in his healing sicknesses, and his power over sin, his power to calm the storm. He had power over heaven. He had power over earth. He spoke, and he's the same one who was with the Father from the beginning, and he spoke, and the worlds were created. Hallelujah. John says, we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father, the one and only Son. And then John, the same writer, John the Apostle, in his epistle, 1 John, now we're talking about 1 John towards the end of the Bible, chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Notice what he says here. We proclaim to you, he's talking about his disciples, the disciples, we proclaim to you the one who existed from the beginning, whom we have heard and seen. We saw him. He was here physically, flesh and blood on earth. Church, say amen. Amen. It's called the incarnation. We saw him with our own eyes. We touched him with our own hands. This Jesus we're talking about this morning, he's real. He's not just a philosopher. He's not just a figure in history. He is truly the one and only begotten Son of the Father. We saw him with our own eyes. We touched him with our own hands. He is the Word of life. This one who is life itself was revealed to us, and we have seen him. And watch this. Stay with me, church. And now we testify. Is anybody getting this yet? We have seen him. We have experienced him. The one that God revealed as the only begotten, full of grace and truth, full of power, full of majesty, full of glory. We've seen him. We have had him revealed to us. Now, we weren't there, but now by the Holy Spirit, he's alive in us too. Hallelujah. So we could rightfully say this morning, we have seen him. We have experienced him. We have touched him. He has touched us. And he's living in us. And now we testify. Everybody say, we testify. Do you testify? Turn to your neighbor and say, do you testify? Or do you keep it to yourself? Do you testify? I'm glad Gloria does. Hallelujah. Anybody else testify? When's the last time you testified? And next week, we're going to have a bunch of guys here whose lives were in shackles and bondage because of alcohol and drugs and addiction. And they're going to be sharing their testimony. They're going to testify. You need to bring somebody with you next week, because you're going to hear tremendous stories of the miracle power of God's grace when doctors gave up and psychologists gave up and these guys were given up for lost, given up for dead in some cases. Then Jesus stepped in. When Jesus come, the tempter's power is broken. Hallelujah. When Jesus comes, all fear is gone. All fear and all bondage goes in the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. John says, we have seen his glory, and now we testify. If you're not excited about Jesus, why would you want to share him? Thank you, Pastor Angela. Hallelujah. If he's not that great, why would you worship him? Why would I worship something that's not that great? Doesn't make any sense. John says, we have seen his glory. Hallelujah. And now we testify and proclaim to you the one who is eternal life. And church, now it's our time to get excited about Jesus. It's our time to be the light of the world. It's our chance. It's our opportunity to be a reflector of Jesus. If I had a little mirror in my hand right now, you can imagine this with me, and I had a flashlight, and I point that flashlight at the mirror and turn the mirror, right? It's going to shine in all of your different faces. And in a sense, Jesus Christ in our heart is a mirror that God put in there to reflect Jesus. The face of Jesus, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, is a reflector, the face of Christ. God shines in our hearts in the face of Christ, Paul says, to a waiting world. You have what the world needs. You have what the world is hungry for. You have it. I have it. Sometimes I don't feel that good. Sometimes I don't feel like I have much at all. But you know, the disciples were just ordinary people like you and me. They doubted, they questioned, they stumbled. Even John the Baptist had a little momentary lapse. Please go ask Jesus, is he really the one, or should we look for somebody else? I mean, I don't want to say anything, Lord, but here I am in this, you know, crummy jail. And what's going on here? But thank God John understood he must increase and I must decrease. Hallelujah. Jesus openly declared to the Jewish people that he was the I Am. He was the one that Moses spoke of. When Moses was at the burning bush and asked, what is your name? Who shall we say send? When you're telling me to go back to Egypt and to tell Pharaoh, let my people go. That's a scary idea, God. Who am I going to say sent me? You tell them the I Am. I am that I am. I am the self-existent one. I am the one that is without beginning, without end. Hallelujah. I am the one who is eternal. I am the one who is almighty, all-powerful, all-knowing, all-loving. I am God. Hallelujah. Jesus got himself in a little bit of trouble in John chapter 8, verse 57, 59. I think we have this one. John 8, 57. Look at what he says to the crowd, the Jewish people who are listening to him. He says to them, he saw Abraham. And they couldn't figure this out. They're scratching their heads and saying, you are not yet 50 years old. And you have seen Abraham? Jesus said, very truly I say unto you, before Abraham was born, I am. I am. Everybody say, I am. At this point, they picked up stones to stone him. Why did they do that? Because it was very clear in their way of thinking that he was saying, I am with the Father. I am one with the Father. I am he. And I love this in the Gospel of John. Lately, I've been studying the Gospel of John, and I'd like to recommend it to you. I know it's one of the easier books in the Bible to read, and you may have said, well, that's a pretty simple book. It's actually not very simple. It's actually very profound. It's revealing who Jesus is. The other Gospel writers, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, are talking more about what Jesus did. But John is focusing on the spiritual meaning of Jesus' life, so to speak. He's speaking about who Jesus was. And at the end of John, says, I wrote this book so that you might know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that by believing in his name, we will have life. So what was the purpose of the Gospel of John? You read the last part, and he says it right there. He says, these things are written so that you might know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And that by believing, you will have life, eternal life. Let the church say amen. Amen. So Jesus uses this phrase, I am, and then he follows it with another word to describe that he is the ultimate something. For example, he says, I am the living water. And he says, you know, I am the light of the world. I've already mentioned that. He's not just saying that, you know, I'm like the sun, the physical sun. What he's saying is that I am the ultimate life. I'm the life. I'm the true light. I'm the true living water. The water you drink is physical. You drink it, quenches your thirst, but then you become thirsty again. The water that I give you will satisfy your thirst forever. Hallelujah. It's a spiritual thing. Are you with me? It's a spiritual thing. So he's trying to teach us that while he was on earth, he was the answer to what people were longing for. This morning, I want to tell you with all my heart, God sent you here today to hear that Jesus Christ is the answer. He is what the world needs. You don't need anything else. You might say, if I only had a better job, if I only had somebody that really loved me, if I only had more friends, if I only had a different family. Don't get mad at me now. You need Jesus. He's the answer to every fear, every bondage, every longing. Only Jesus satisfies. He's the hope for a better world. Why would you reject him? Why would you reject him? Jesus said to the people who were trying to kill him, for what good work do you stone me? He says, testify against me. What did I do that you want to kill me? I've healed sick people. I opened the eyes of the blind. I championed the cause of disadvantaged people. I've healed women. I forgive people's sins. I multiplied bread and loaves and fed the people. Why are you trying to kill me? Why do people hate Jesus today? Why does the news media, they'll talk about anything else, but the minute you get somebody on there and say, you know, I believe in Jesus Christ. Okay, let's change the subject. Let's change the subject. They're very uncomfortable. Because he is the I am. He is the I am. He's the hope for a better world. Jesus said in John 6:35, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. And whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. John 6:51, he says, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world. His body, his broken body, and his precious blood was true food. It was real satisfaction. It was that which would truly meet the deepest need, the deepest longing. People feel like, you know, especially in places in the world where there's a lot of hunger, people are always looking for another bowl of rice. They're always looking for a piece of bread. But Jesus was saying, I am the true bread. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Do you know anybody like that that's really hungry for something? They seem like they're longing, they're empty inside, no matter how many things they have. How many, you know, things don't satisfy? Only Jesus satisfies. Only Jesus satisfies. When you embrace him, you find the fullness that the best meal, you can go to a 4-star restaurant and still not feel well when you leave. But when you come to church and you feast on the riches of Christ, hallelujah, you leave and you say, wow, I feel full. I feel good. I feel like I just had a steak. Hallelujah. Some lasagna. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. When you embrace him, you find fullness of life. There was a man in India by the name of, I hope I can pronounce this right, a missionary, Sadhu Sundar Singh. S-I-N-G-H. He was distributing gospels in the central province of India, and he came to some non-Christian people on a train and offered them a copy of John's gospel. The man, who was probably either Hindu or Buddhist, took it and became so angry he tore the gospel up into shreds and threw it out the window. He was so angry. That seemed to be the end of the story. But in the providence of God, a few days later, a man came along who was very depressed and feeling very empty inside. And as he was walking along the train tracks, guess what he found? One page of the Bible, John chapter 6, where it said, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He brought it home to his friends. who were also Hindus or Buddhists or whatever. And he said, what does this mean? And they told him, throw that away. Throw that away. That's a Christian book. That's from a Christian book. You better not be caught with that, because that's going to defile your home. They don't want to have anything to do with Christians. But something about those words, he said, those words are the most beautiful words I heard. I am the bread of life. Those are beautiful words to somebody who's hungry. Are you with me this morning? Those are some of the most beautiful words to somebody who's hungry. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He went to a bookstore. He bought a New Testament. He became a Christian. He eventually became a pastor and started churches all over India. From one sentence, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Are you with me today? We need to believe that Jesus fully satisfies, and we need to offer him to a hungry world. People are starving for love. People are starving for a sense of belonging. How many people you know that don't feel like they're accepted? They always feel like they're on the outside looking in. Only Jesus can satisfy the emptiness in your soul. Jesus also said, I am the light of the world. We've talked about that a little bit. John chapter 8, verse 12, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. You know, the sun is the exact amount of distance from the earth that it needs to be. What is it, 93 million miles away? If the sun were a little bit closer to the earth, you know, you've heard this, scientists have told us this, the earth would burn up. If the sun was further away, we would all freeze to death. And what the sun is to the earth, Jesus, the light of the world, is to our soul. Hallelujah. He knows how to bring warmth and health and life and nutrition, spiritual nutrition. Everything we need, he knows how to bring that to the human heart. Just as the sun shines and the photosynthesis causes green plants to grow, his light dispels darkness, fear. Somebody here today may be struggling with discouragement, but I want you to turn towards the light. Turn towards the light. When you turn sometimes inwardly, all you see is what you already have. But when you look up into his face, hallelujah, you see the light. You see the possibilities. You see God as the hope of the world. Can you say amen this morning? He's the light that dispels darkness, fear, even hatred and prejudice. There are a lot of people that need their hearts illuminated. They need their hearts and their minds enlightened by Jesus. There was a young boy in a Sunday school class, and they were trying to memorize the scripture, John 8:12. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. And when he got up on the stage, he was so nervous, he forgot the verse. And his mother was sitting in the front row here where Lourdes is, and she's trying to say, you know, without saying too loud, mouth the words, I am the light of the world. I am the... So finally he smiled, he got it, he says, I got it. He says, Mom is the light of the world. Not Mom. Jesus is the light of the world. Hallelujah. But are you also the light of the world? Turn to you. Are you the light of the world? Who are you shining on? Who are you shining on? In the next chapter, Jesus uses this analogy of being the light of the world in healing a blind man's eyes. John chapter 9. And then there's this big debate about why this man was healed and how he could be healed on the Sabbath, which the Pharisees thought was a big crime to heal somebody on the Sabbath. So Jesus uses the opportunity to confront the Pharisees about their spiritual blindness. Even though they were the ones who were supposed to know all of the deep truths about God, they were spiritually blind. They were prejudiced. They were ready to put Jesus to death. How many of you know just because you're religious doesn't mean you're enlightened? The real light of Jesus makes you a better person. The light of Jesus will make you less fearful. It will make you more hopeful. It will give you a sense of purpose. You see, what I'm trying to say to you this morning is that Jesus is the truest form of everything you need in life. Yes, you need food, but he's the true food. You need the sun, but he's the true light. You need water, but he's the living water. Jesus is the epitome, the ultimate reality of everything that we need in this life. Can you say amen? Amen? Now, you may know some people that don't feel like they need anything. Have you ever met anyone like that? Paul says that the God of this world has blinded the minds, 2 Corinthians chapter 4, of those who do not believe. They're blind. And I remember this song during the so-called Jesus Revolution. How many of you were around in the 60s and 70s? You remember starting in California and other places around the country, there was what they called the hippie movement and then the Jesus movement, where thousands and thousands of young people were coming to God. And one of the well-known prophetic psalmists was Keith Green. He wrote some amazing songs. I love this lyric to the song called When Your Love Broke Through. Listen to this lyric. Like a foolish dreamer trying to build a highway to the sky, all my hopes came tumbling down, and I never knew just why. Maybe somebody's relating to this morning. Until the day when you pulled away the clouds that hung like curtains on my eyes. I realized I've been blind all these wasted years, and I thought I was so wise. But then you took me by surprise. Hallelujah. He took me by surprise. When I was 17 years old, he took me by surprise. It's like waking up from the longest dream. How real it seemed, the dream, until your love broke through. I was lost in a fantasy that blinded me until your love broke through. I would commend this to every young person that's here today. When you know the love that God has and the plans that he has for your life, you'll be so excited to follow him. You'll be so excited to follow him. It won't be just, you know, trying to make your parents happy to go to church because your parents are looking for you to be at church. But you will truly know him whom to know is life eternal. And I want to close with this one this morning. It's Jesus says, I am the door. Jesus is the bread of life. He's the light of the world. He is the door or the gate. This is John chapter 10, verses 7 to 10. Jesus said to them again, most assuredly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All whoever came before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not hear them. I am the door, Jesus says. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. He will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come to steal, to kill and destroy, but I have come that they may have life and have it more abundantly. Can you say amen this morning? Every building has a door, at least one door, right? Every building has to have at least one door. And Jesus is saying, I am the ultimate door. Whoever comes into my house, whoever comes through me, hallelujah, will find real life. He will find what he's been looking for. He will find safety. He will find peace. Brother Joe was mentioning earlier this morning in our prayer time that there's somebody here this morning who's struggling, who needs peace in their life. I don't know who you are, but I can commend Jesus to you. He is the Prince of Peace. He is the Prince of Peace. I am the door, Jesus said. If you come through me, you will find real pasture. You will find peace. You will find safety. Billy Graham said, every building I've ever seen has an entrance. The kingdom of God also has an entrance. It is Jesus Christ. A building may have many doors, but God's kingdom only has one door. And that door is Jesus. You might say, Pastor Dave, this is all like elementary. I know all this stuff. I do too. But here's the thing. Are we sharing this with those who need it? It's not just a question of whether we know it. You might say, Pastor Dave, this message is rather fundamental. That's okay. You're not hurting my feelings. Pastor Dave, don't get your feelings hurt. Come on. But here's the point. Are we showing people to the door? Are we bringing people through the only way that leads to eternal life? Are we showing people the light? Are we showing people the bread? Or offering them the bread of life? Sometimes the Bible has been called the bread of life. You may have some of your friends don't even have a Bible. Maybe if you gave them a Gospel of John, it will change their life. I'm going to close with this illustration. There's a tourist who was in Syria, and he noticed in that ancient country a shepherd leading all of his sheep into a sheepfold one evening. This sheepfold was a walled pen, like a sheep pen, but it was made out of concrete walls. And interestingly, it just had one small opening. And the shepherd was able to corral the sheep and get them all to go through that one opening. But the tourist was watching this, and he noticed that that opening had no door. And so he said to the shepherd, he says, "There's no door to the opening. Can't wild animals get in?" "No," he answered. "Well, why not?" said the visitor. The shepherd answered, "Because I am the door. When the sheep are in for the night, I lie down across the opening. No sheep can get out except over my body, and no wolf or thief can get in except over me. I lie down in front of the door. I am the door." Hallelujah. He is the door. Hallelujah. How many of you are glad that you found the door? Do you think other people need to find the door? Do you believe that Jesus is the bread of life? How many of you also believe there are people out there who are hungry? If you believe he's the living water, there are people who are thirsty. Let us do our part. We cannot reach everyone, but every one of us can reach one person. Each of us can reach at least one. Amen? And let them know what you have found. Testify. John says, "We have beheld the glory." Jesus is the best thing that's ever happened. The glory as the one and only begotten of the Father. He is the true image of God the Father. He's a reflection of God in all of the greatest ways possible. And now we are reflectors. I want you to leave this place today realizing that you have like a little reflector inside of you. And it shines on people. If we continually stay in his presence, just like Moses, when Moses was up in the Mount Sinai, came down, what was happening with his face? His face was shining. When you're in the presence of the Lord, you can't help but be influenced by his presence. That's why we encourage you to come to prayer meeting. Amen. We encourage you because when you're in his presence, even the small group that we had this week was so sweet. The presence of God was so strong. The Holy Spirit was being manifested. We were having words of knowledge and encouragement one another. It was beautiful. And don't feel condemned if you work late and all that, you can't come. That's okay. But if you can even come once a month or twice a month, come to represent your family. If you're a head of a family, if you have loved ones, you come on their behalf. Come on their behalf. Say, "I'm going to pray that all of my family will be saved. I'm going to pray that my cousins, my uncles, my loved ones will feel the influence of my prayers because I'm going to faithfully believe that heaven can come down to earth." Hallelujah. Would you stand with me right now? Give God a praise from your heart. Bless your name, Jesus. Bless your name, Lord. You are the bread of life. You are the light of the world. You are the door. Lord, we want to reflect you to a needy world. There are a lot of blind people out there. There are people who are walking around free as a bird, but they're in prison. Isn't that true? Do you know anybody like that who's imprisoned by their fears? They're imprisoned by negativity, by a bad attitude. They're imprisoned because they have such low self-esteem. They don't believe anything good could ever happen for them. Oh, what a mistake. What a mistake it is. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full into his wonderful face. And the things of earth will go strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace.